Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of I Hate It Here, where we spend 1 hour hating the world so you don't have to. I'm your host, Richard Lewis. Joining me, as always, is Sam Davis. You've been very workmanlike today.
What's that mean?
Well, you know, we're straight in. Just, you know, let's do it. 3, 2, 1, 0.
Yeah, got a special account. Don't I, mate?
Yeah, no, just saying.
That's because I haven't used this all in ages, to be honest. So I was on edge, I was going to fuck up the count, so I made sure.
All right, good for you, Freddie Gibbs. The reason we're doing I Hate It Here, because I know it's like the most fucking requested thing of all time that we do another episode of this, but I've been like just not doing it because the Richard Lewis show pretty much became I Hate It. Like, yeah, where the people realized it.
We were stealing our own content for the other show, so there was no shit left.
But I was like going through all the stories today because like I've been super fucking busy, dude. Like I barely cobbled it together to get this show up and running. And I was just going through all the stories and I was like, wow, this is just like the worst collection of news stories I think we've ever had submitted to the show. Like it's unbelievable. Like I'm going to start lighthearted. You have got the 18 plus filter on, I hope.
Oh, yeah. By default,
well,
the stream.
Well, we might still have problems because obviously it's the new Twitch terms of service here. Basically, this is my way of testing out the new Twitch terms of
see how
service.
Stretchy these rules are.
Do these motherfuckers bend or do they break? So I'm gonna start out lighthearted, but trust me, there's some fucking crazy ass shit on the show today. So look, church, organized religion. You know, I've never been a big proponent of it. If it works for you and you don't fucking force it on anyone else, though, I'm all about it. But church is getting fucking wild these days. So I was reading a story over in the Daily Mail about one of the wildest vicars I think I ever heard about, right? Now, obviously, I don't know about you, but like when I'm talking about like a man of the cloth, there's certain expectations that I have. You know, I certainly expect him to be, I don't mind if he's a left footer. I don't mind if he's having sex. I'm all right with that. I think that's a little bit unreasonable. I don't think you need to be chaste, but if you're going to fucking lecture me about temperance and the word of God, I expect you to fucking dial it down a little bit. I don't want you to be fucking absolutely out of control more so than I am. Well, I read this story over in the Daily Mail. I love how the Daily Mail finds this shit. And this is about the Reverend Stennett Kirby. Yo,
you
dude.
Read it first, because I got some questions.
No. So this is the headline, yo. Church of England vicar is caught on video inhaling from a crack pipe and discussing prostitutes as he says, I'm a very happy man.
Most people on crack, aren't it?
Yeah, it's fucking true.
That's
but
why
like,
it's
fucking
50 a gram, mate.
But he was doing coke and smoking crack.
Oh,
I mean, he's
fucking about.
No, listen, he's double dipping. Obviously, if you like cocaine, you will love crack. And
that is not an advertisement, by the way.
No, we're definitely not advertising.
You like coke, then you love new crack.
Yeah, but I mean, that's pretty much how it should, you know, how it was marketed.
Like, you like coke, but you don't like paying that much money for it? I got something cheaper. They'll still fuck you up.
Yeah, one hit on that fucking glass dick and you'll be fucking turned out for life, dude. So, you know, yeah. So anyway, this is the story about a Church of England vicar who was caught on video inhaling from a crack pipe and discussing prostitutes while saying, I'm a very happy man in the moment. Now, he's been a vicar
64,
of...
64, mate! Not us!
I was getting there. So this is a guy who's been a vicar at West Ham Parish since 2007. The motherfucker's still rolling like this at 64 years of age. I mean, shit, I hope I'm fucking real like that when I'm 64. Like, and the thing is as well,
it's not quite the Beatles song, is it? Will you still sniff crack? Will you still fuck women when you're 64?
Yeah, it definitely isn't what they had in mind. But also as well, while he was doing it, right, somebody offered him a female escort, and he said, I wish I could. If I had the money, I would, but I've only got a tenner left. So
spent it all on crack, didn't he?
Spent it all on crack. Just straight spending all is Money on Crack. Talking about money, I saw that we did get $100 donation there from Jerky's Minion, who supports all of the content. So really appreciate it as always. But yeah, so this is like, you know, this is what he's, how he's rolling in his parish. Now, I imagine that there might be some ramifications for this. It says that there was a sort of statement. An associate minister at the church told the congregation he'd been caught with this, and he already had had a bit of a check in history because he'd already been caught discussing buying poppers when he went to Soho in London. So him and Keith Faz might want to get together.
What's with like the London elite just loving the poppers, mate?
Gotta keep their muscles loose, dog. But he said, anyway, Ben, by now many of you may have heard of an article which has appeared online today concerning your vicar, the Reverend Stennett Kirby. I am trying to support Stennett pastorally at this demanding time for him, and he is very much in my prayers.
I've been doing his crack and fucking prostitutes. You're in my prayers, mate.
You ain't in his, dog. Like, for real. The article contains serious allegations with regard to drug taking and other matters of an ethical nature. These allegations will now be investigated by the Archdeacon. Please support him as he seeks support from you.
Yeah, please support him. You've got a turnabout. I'm fucking cracking. Yeah, I just take the collection plate this week. Yeah. I'll give it back to you next week.
Right, I'm jacked up. If only I could afford an escort, you know? But
do you get
anyway,
one for tenner nowadays?
There was, but a parishioner who didn't want to be named said, everyone is very shocked.
And
interesting enough as well, apparently he lives in a £1.5 million house,
mate,
which belongs to the diocese.
Imagine the amount of movies being lived in that house, mate. He must be living like Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, he's fucking living it. So I know that doesn't sound like anything sort of hated about, but I couldn't really segue into the next story about church without having something a bit lighthearted before, because it turns out church is fucking getting lit. I mean, church is just crazy these days. This was a story in The Sun. Headline pretty much tells it all. This was in South Carolina, not too far from me. A woman of 19 years of age rips out her own eyeballs in front of horrified churchgoers. A teenager ripped out her own eyes.
Do you know what I thought it was, mate? What? I thought she was, at my first initial watch, she was just really spiteful. She was like, you can do miracles, can you? Fucking we'll pull him back in, and if you can do miracles, come on.
No,
I'm
afraid not. The 19-year-old had been spotted strolling across the grounds of the South Main Chapel before worshippers heard her deafening screams. We knew something was terribly wrong, said a witness. Yeah, she ripped her fucking eyes out. I mean, that's pretty bad.
That is pretty wrong.
Yeah, the police arrived on the scene to see the woman had self-mutilated herself. And was chilling out and had walked, stumbled over to some nearby railroad tracks. The police report says she ripped out one eye with her bare hands and held it up for witnesses to see.
Jesus.
She then pushed...
this Resident Evil cutscene going down in real life for, like, Jesus.
She then pushed out her other eye by poking it in. She was taken she was taken to hospital after several people subdued her. The cause of this or the reason for this still isn't known. I'd probably give church a little bit of a miss after that. I think I might like just not go for a few days, you know. Give that a fucking miss, homie. Meanwhile, tangentially linked, okay, obviously the church generally, depending on what kind of person you are, but generally in Britain especially, and, you know, I'd say around the world, the church handles funerals, right? Like, if you die, you're probably, going to have some sort of church service pertaining to the funeral, and it's especially true in Britain, right? Like, I mean, even if you're not religious, you get kind of non-religious church services now, right?
I think everyone thinks that that's somehow like a freebie into heaven. It's like, oh, you weren't religious, but if you have a nice funeral before we go, it'll be all right.
Yeah, well,
same with like a christening. Everyone's like, "Oh, christen a baby. Never take him to church ever again." Of course, you know, if he's christened, he gets to escape hell. That's how.
Yeah,
it works.
Play it safe. I mean, like, I've seen some ideas for like funerals. Like what I always wanted to do when I die, and we'll get this recorded, so then people can never dispute it. I did look into the legality of it. I wanted to be basically like burnt in a Viking style Valhalla. You know, fucking funeral. And, you know, you can do two things with my head. Obviously, it won't matter to me. You can do the cool thing and freeze it just in case we get, like, the ending of AI where the aliens come and fucking, you know, fucking,
just
they can bring
me
back.
It's going to be an head in a jar, no?
Nah, they'll stick me on a robotic body. It'll be brilliant.
Yeah, but who would do? They ain't giving out robotic bodies to everyone, mate. You know, the ex-presidents, the scientists, they get a robotic body, mate. You just get a fucking jar. Like,
yeah, no, I reckon I'm
you're getting the NHS level of head surgery, mate.
Who else from eSports is going to be frozen? Think about it. Yeah, they'll need me. When they want to fill
I mean,
in
I guess, yeah, I guess if they're like taking a chunk, if it's Noah's Ark style and they're taking a chunk of every human who
although,
does something.
Although, knowing my luck, with all the money Thorin's got, like, I'll get thawed out and I'll just hear, hello, Rich. Skrilla. And, oh, fucking hell,
you want
silly.
A robotic body, do you? You owe me $400,000.
Yeah. Yeah, I went into robotics after they brought me back.
But Thorin, it's the future. They only cost £40 now. I know.
But anyway, so, you know, funerals, they're, you know, you can personalize them. You can do whatever you want at a funeral. I think that's appropriate. I think people have the right to fucking be remembered and go out and be celebrated in any way that they want to. Here's what I didn't know. There's this thing going on in China right now where when people die and they have funerals, they've got this trend where they have what they call funeral strippers. Which is fine. It's
sure
all fine.
It lightens the mood. Stops it from being so depressing, I guess.
Yeah, you catch a pair of panties and you just immediately start dabbing off the tears with them. You know, it's got some practicalities to it. But anyway, China have said they want to crack down on funeral strippers.
What's the arm?
They don't think funeral strippers are a good thing. And apparently the reason for this is some people hire the strippers so more people just come. Total strange.
What do you mean? What, so they're like fucking doing tickets on the door?
Yeah, so basically what they do is, like, because in Chinese culture, the more people that attend the funeral, the you know, it's like, I think there's some...
The better life you live.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure I remember some old proverb. I don't know if I made this up in my mind. If not, it's pretty cool, so we should definitely use it. But, you know, the coins that you use to buy your way into heaven are the tears shed at your funeral or something like that. Right. So obviously, large attendances at funerals were always considered a very, you know, a sign of a life well lived. So what they do is to bolster attendances at funerals for people that maybe wouldn't be a big draw ordinarily, they put on a strip show. And yeah, but basically they say, hey, look, come for the funeral, stay for the boobs, you know. And
tonight, Danny's funeral and comedy hour with a steak. £6.99 at the door.
You know, yeah. It gets a little
one
blue
drink
after
minimum.
10. Fucking hell. You know what I mean? Peter Kay comes out, you know what I mean?
You remember school, you remember dinner lady, you remember food, you remember fucking shitting, you remember all these things that you all know. Funny, innit? No, it's not, Peter, mate. It's not.
So I called up the takeaway. I said, do you deliver? They said, no, we do chicken and fish.
That's another bag. You can keep that away, oh.
So yeah, Peter Kay, do you remember things? Good, good guy, good comic. Had his moment. So what they've said is basically that obscene funerals are going to be clamped down on. It's not just strippers. People have also been hiring actors, you know, if they've got the money, singers, comedians.
Yeah, but what's wrong with this? I don't see what's bad.
I don't know.
Why is it got to be something that's got to be cracked down upon, like, as if it's ruining society?
Beijing banned funeral strippers in 2015. because there was two prominent cases where exotic dancers staged what they called obscene performance.
Because like porn and shit is still banned, right? Yeah,
right. Right. So at the funeral, two strippers wearing revealing clothes danced on a stage in a public square in our village at night. Authorities ran in and arrested six exotic dancers at the funeral. So,
there's got to be someone else on. There's got to be someone else on.
So, yeah,
quick,
basically,
tackle the strippers.
The Global Times said, in some local cultures, dancing with erotic elements can be used to convey the deceased's wishes of being blessed with many children. So there's that. But yeah, so now it's sort of going to the government, and China are talking about whether or not they want these sort of goings on occurring at funerals. I would have thought there was far more important things.
Also, but like, no. And the strippers is a bit weird, but like when you said having singers and comedians, that sounds banging, mate. Imagine if I died and like, oh yeah, opening's Dave Chappelle, then we're gonna burn Sam, and then finishing we got Tom Petty like back from the dead.
Yeah, why not?
That would be mental, man.
Bit soon, maybe.
Well, no, I forgot he was dead, to be honest. I said Tom Petty. He's like, oh, no, I can't. Gonna have to change it, mate.
Yeah, he passed away. Yeah.
Gonna have to have John Lennon. Oh, bloody hell, they're all gone.
So, yeah, just, you know, bit of a strange thing for the government to be sticking their oar in, but, you know, it is what it is. Then this is a bit graphic. So even though we're the 18 plus, this is one of the tests. This is one of the tests right here. Okay, so you know how the Metro just writes like endless crazy stories that are just, they're all obscene in some way. It's like how they get their kicks. It's how they get their clicks. So this has got to be one of the mad. I don't even know why this is news. I don't know why you would ever write this up. I don't know. No, seriously, because there is no value. There is no journalistic value in this. Maybe as a PSA, but I can't imagine it ever being necessary. So this is the Metro once again doing their service to journalism with the headline, "Man who used anglerfish stomach to masturbate ends up in hospital." Not a mental hospital. but actually just a hospital for having an allergic reaction. So the worst thing about it was the guy posted on a website called 2Channel giving a step-by-step guide as to how to do it yourself at home if you wanted to. So the anonymous masturbator was from Japan, and he told everybody on the website that he works with anglerfish on a regular basis and decided to take the fish's stomach and make a glove out of it and masturbate with it out of curiosity. I've never been that curious, Sam. Never been that curious. Are you all right?
I'm just like, the picture, mate, is enough to make me just think, why though? As soon as you see that.
Yeah, yeah. So you can see the stomach on his hand, and he said, not to worry because he took precautions, which included disinfecting the raw fish organ with salt and ethanol before he made penile contact. And then he went and had at it. Now, what happened afterward? After he'd had his fun. He started coming down with a excruciating pain in his penis.
Why don't you just buy a fleshlight, mate? If you're going to go through the trouble of de-infecting a skin's fish stomach, probably just buy a real sex toy, mate.
Yeah. Basically what he did was he gave himself urethritis, which is an inflammation of the urethra. So apparently he had caught a parasitic infection while masturbating. So ethanol didn't kill all of the parasites in the fish's stomach lining. The man said he has to keep applying an ointment to his penis because it burns when he urinates. Despite this experience, he also posted saying next up he was going to try masturbating with a dead squid.
Is this just this cunt's thing? Does he just love wanking with various animals? Like,
I don't know, man. What is wrong with, like, it, you know, I suppose at least the fish are already dead, right? So,
mate, his dick is still sore and he's eyeing up the next object. Like, that's when you know he's mentally ill. He hasn't even let the dick go down from being red and he's already ready for another go. Like,
yeah. Right. So, how do you even segue from that? I suppose we'll lighten the mood a little bit. Also from the Daily Mail. Now, I've never heard of a story like this happening in the UK. I guess it's a sign of the times. But, you know, what you might find on occasion, Sam, is like, you know when you're reading, like, you know, those little columns just in newspapers where they've just got a fill page space, yeah, and they'll just rip like some weird story out of Reuters or the AP wire or whatever's going on. And it'll be like, you know, just something crazy, like, you know, man fucking in India, you know, found living in, you know, fucking underground tunnel network. You know, it's always something like that. And you're like, wow, that's fucking crazy. Well, I saw the headline and I was like, all right, it barely raised an eyelid, because the headline for this story is a man got stuck in drain for 3 days before being rescued, right? What's different about this story is it happened in Romford. sorry. So the idea that in the UK, a man got stuck in a drain for 3 days. No one noticed him. No one could help him. No one could get him out for three days.
Right. Yeah. Humans go in and out the sewer all the time. People go in out of work. I've seen the sewer, but isn't there ladders and shit involved? There's manhole covers, there's exits, there's entrances, there's bits where you can see daylight. How could we be trapped in there for so long?
Well, look, we'll get into it.
All right, and I could put a dog in a sewer and he'd find his way out within 3 days.
Right. Well, so what happened was he fell down the drain. So that obviously got stuck, but he could move around, and he said he was wandering through the pipelines, but there was no exit. He was just in sort of he was in a cordoned off part of the sewer, apparently. And he was just down there for 3 days, you know, no food, no water. And eventually someone heard his scream. Easy. He was no spring chicken. He was 48 years old. And, the police heard some screaming and shouting. And they were eventually able to sort of, you know, get there and get it together so they could sort of haul him out. When he came out, his first question was, does anyone have a fag? Which, unfortunately...
I'm fucking gasping!
Which, unfortunately, due to Twitch terms of service, I'm obliged to inform you, that is a British colloquial term for either a cigarette or for somebody that does your chores at a private school, not anything else. And shame on you for thinking otherwise. But yeah, he just wanted a cigarette straight away. Like, I'll just walk off that 3 days of living in a sewer. No problem. Now give me a fucking cigarette. So utterly ridiculous. So does that. So there you go. That's the mood lightened. Let me see. What should we go to next?
I mean,
go on.
He came up from this video. He came up the way he fell in, which is in the middle of a road with cars everywhere. Wouldn't you just stand there going, help. Surely he can't have been there for 3 days, mate.
Listen,
I'm calling some strangeness on this story. I think he voluntarily stayed in those sewers for a few days.
Why would you do that?
Why
what do you want
leave?
A fucking
mate? If I'm trapped in a sewer right now, you tell me you couldn't get out. There's no way. It's designed
it depends.
Have people in there. It's made with humans in mind.
Yeah, but like, what if I can't? What if I can't find a way out?
I don't know, mate. I'm just saying. All right, that's a way. I'd start throwing shit out the hall at cars. I'd start smashing windows.
Right,
shit being launched from a manhole.
I mean, you know, if you wanted time off work, it's easier to get a sick note off a doctor, isn't it? I've got a sore back.
He could have been, you know, partying with the priest in London, found himself in a sewer, and then realised, I got to get out of this.
Yeah, we've all been there. So look, so from sewers to rats. This is a mad story. Obviously, we've had it on the show before. A lot of people will remember the, can you get these bats out of my home? Please pray for no bats. A lot of people will remember that one, one of the highlights. This is a story which kind of shows that, you know, you've got to be careful about the rise of vermin. This is from the city of Eugene, Oregon. And you will see the headline, they're not scared of humans. They're not scared of humans. City of Eugene takes aim at rats and wild gangster turkeys. Now, so basically what started happening is there's this phenomenon called urban farming.
These fucking hipsters, man. What does that even mean?
Right. So basically, urban farming, you know, you can imagine it's pretty much like it sounds. They're trying to sort of keep animals in urban environments. And what started happening is, as a result of this, anybody who's lived on a farm will tell you this, okay? When you have feed for birds, rats will go and get the feed because it's a free meal and the conditions are pretty good for rats in general. Obviously, the rats are already there. It's a city. You won't find a major city with a sewerage system without rats. But if they can identify where they can go and get a free meal, rats are not stupid. They're quite intelligent creatures. They will go back to where they can get the feed. And again, any farm boy will tell you this. That every time you got to keep your that's why you don't leave your feed just out and about, because the rats will get at it. And not just rats are the type of vermin, but mostly rats.
The rats will fuck up your entire feed, man.
So you have got chance. So what started happening was the rats have now started becoming, because these are well-fed rats now. They found these urban farms and they're eating the feed, right? And they are just empowered, emboldened. And obviously people don't like that. Nobody likes a rat that doesn't give a fuck. So the rats are starting to establish themselves. But it's not just that. Obviously, with urban farming comes the animals themselves. And a city councillor called Greg Evans has said that there are these, what he calls, gangster turkeys. Right? And they are out just straight flexing in the streets. They get out. They get out from where they're kept.
Got bandanas on, strapped. <Yeah. laughs>
They're flexing in the streets. They're attacking people, and they are not afraid of humans in any way, shape, or form, because this is the fucking environment that they've been fucking brought up in.
I don't know about turkeys. Can a turkey fuck up a human? I don't know his fucking special moves.
Turkeys are big birds, but like I've never met a turkey that was aggressive as a swan or a goose.
Like I don't think a turkey could break my arm like a swan could. Well, a swan could break like a child's arm. I don't know if it breaks.
No, but I've also heard that story a lot about how swans break people's arms, and I'm pretty sure theoretically they can. I don't think it's ever happened to
anyone.
All
I'm saying is, if it was a fight to the death, I'd put my money on me against any bird. Well, maybe not an ostrich or something. No, I mean normal birds. I think I like a fuck up an eagle, but. Because he's got to come and grab me, and he ain't killing me in one shot, but I ain't getting one hit by an eagle.
No, I think you're wrong there. I think the eagle has to kill you in one shot. I think he has to go for the throat rip.
Yeah, but I got fucking fat traps, mate. I'll just turtle up. It's like a UFC fight. Yeah, protect your neck. You know? Well, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe an eagle would fuck me up. But like any birds, I guess, like a turkey. I don't know what other fucking little birds got. Everyone can fucking.
I mean, keep in mind these are wild turkeys that are sort of been semi.
I don't know fuck how hard they are, mate. Bring your hardest turkey, I'll still fuck him up.
All right, well, bring your whole.
But
like, crew.
The thing is, I guarantee if you're walking down the street and you get attacked by turkeys and I just start snapping them by the neck, I guarantee I'd be the unreasonable one. But everyone like, oh, what are you doing, kill those turkeys? Cause they fucking chase me down the street, but.
Yeah,
they're gangster turkeys.
Yeah, these are gangster turkeys. You know, I don't know, mate. I think I'm not saying I'd like be mortally afraid of them. I'd cross the street.
Like, oh, this is just a thing on our show where we discuss what animals we can fuck up.
I'm gonna start streaming this game.
If I'm gonna say start streaming you fighting animals, that would be game changing. I'm gonna start streaming me defeating animals in the wild.
Yeah, you have you seen the show Man versus Food?
Oh, yeah,
concept for a show, Man versus Animals. Where I travel all around the world.
Bare hands only. All we have to do is, like you said, bare hands only. Fair fight. No knives.
Nah, there's this game called Hunter Call of the Wild. I'm going to start streaming it, and just like it's the logical progression now to start streaming hunting games, since as we always end up talking about killing animals for some reason, even though we're ostensibly animal lovers, right? Like, I love animals. Love them. Prefer them to people in some areas.
Friend on the animal.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously. But, like, you know, bears, I wouldn't want to kill a bear.
Nah, bears like are bears. Fucking sick, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, right. I think people over talk how much bears go after people. From what I've seen, they only fuck you up if they're, like, shook. Like, if you find them in the jungle, in the woods, and you confront them, maybe they're going to get a bit shook. But I don't think they just walk around looking for people to kill, like.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. But like I say, I like animals, but you know, we do always seem to end up talking about windmilling a fucking goose or something.
Because birds are just cunts, mate. All birds just need a beating.
Nah, that's not true, mate. I like cockatoos and fucking...
Yeah, but those are little shits. What I mean is these wild cunts with a long neck. Anything with a long neck needs to be beaten, mate. In the bird world, anything with a long neck will fuck you up if you don't fuck it up first. That's my rule, like.
Yeah, see,
think about it. Swans, emus, ostriches, our turkey were fucking, they're going around strapped, gangster turkeys, they're all just bad people, mate, bad birds.
What about giraffes, then?
Giraffes, mate, a giraffe.
They got the long distance.
That's definitely not a bird, for a start.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
But a giraffe has got some mean intentions as well, mate. Have you seen giraffes fight when they slap each other's necks?
No.
You are all right, here we go.
Oh, no, I think I have.
Anyway, giraffes fighting. Because they snap each other's necks, but just slinging each other's necks at each other.
So that, what we're talking about, neck slapping now. Is that where we're going?
Giraffe fight. Here we go. I think it's one. Let's not get a David Attenborough one. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Most violent giraffe fight ever.
That a video, Sam?
It's by ABC News, mate.
Let's how was that a video? Okay, me? You won this when you're ready.
Go to, Sorry. For the 10 seconds.
All right.
Ready?
Okay. Yeah.
3, 2, 1, go. Giraffes gone wild, mate. Look at him, he's swinging the neck. Oh, that's not a giraffe. I'm playing it with no sound so you don't get wrecked. Like, what is this? Show me the giraffes!
Now, they've got to build you up to the giraffes, dude.
What? This is like the undercard in a UFC fight.
Eagles?
Now for the main event!
Next!
Look at them eyeing each other up. You want some, mate? You fucking want some?
Their face
douche!
Doesn't...
Douche! 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 Look at that, mate!
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
Mate, that's like a fucking flying sidekick times 10. Do you see how fucking fast they swing a neck? Bang! Bang! Giraffe would definitely fuck me up. If one of those hits me, mate, it's like getting kicked by John Jones. It's all over.
I'm all right with it. I don't mind giraffes. Like, their face doesn't match that of a mean creature, dude.
Nah, they're like majestic, that's what I mean, but they're definitely evil. Like, I wouldn't walk up to a giraffe thinking it's going to be sound. They'd definitely be on edge. Right. Well, obviously some bear fighting as well, don't they?
Yeah. Alright, well, look, so anyway, basically, that city's got a problem, the city of Eugene, and they're putting together a special ordnance team to take out the fucking gangster turkeys and the rats.
How are they going to take them out?
The strike force, well, I don't know, mate.
Take them out, they say it as if it's like a hitman crew. Take them out.
Yeah, need to get the fucking SWAT team.
I need this problem ratified today.
Right. Okay. So let's do another one. We can go a little bit serious now because we've had douche. So people are laughing at that. We'll go a little bit serious. Which one should I do? Yeah. Tell you what. Let's get this out the way. So I had a lot of people send me this. Going, oh, it's bloody. You know what? Like, right. Okay. I accept that there is an element of my audience that probably do not understand the things I stand for, right? And, you know, they understand I'm against political correctness. They get that much correct. But what they don't understand is I'm also against not being, you know, using your position abusively. Like, I'm mad against that, right? So you always have to assess things. And it could be, you know, if you're, for example, a teacher, you know, it was like when we did that story where we saw that, you know, a student went to a teacher and said, I want to write to Hillary Clinton. She's my idol, my icon. I want to be like her when I grow up. Now, however misguided that might be for that child, that's how she feels in that moment. And as a teacher, you should put what you know about Hillary Clinton in the back of your mind, and you should help the kid, right? So you agree with that?
Yeah.
And so
also,
people
we discussed this when we brought it up last time. It's not even the person that she's idolizing. It's what she imagines the person to be. So yeah. It doesn't even really matter who the person is as much.
So a load of people sent me this. And they were like, go on, Richard. Go on. Go on. Have a go at the politically correct. Go on. Do it. And I was like, okay, let's have a look at the story. And I simply sort of agree with it. Sorry, I meant to be against it, I think. And I suppose in a certain slight element, I am. But I think this is so fucking unacceptable. I'm certainly more on the side of... Well, I'm on the opposite side to the people who sent me the story. So I think this will probably surprise people a little bit. But let's get into it. So this is a story from The Telegraph. And a teacher that was accused of misgendering a child was told by police she'd committed a hate crime and could face action against that, right? Now, understand, in a world where people are starting to say gender's a spectrum, gender's fluid, and you can never be certain about someone's gender by appearances, and on top of that, people can also now change gender as they wish on an momentary basis, which I've said before. I think once you get to that degree, it's absurd. And you can also be a gender that doesn't exist, and I think that's absurd. But for people that feel they are the wrong gender, I have no issue with using the gender they feel comfortable with. I call that being civil, polite, and decent. And certainly, while I wouldn't want people punished for an honest mistake, I definitely think if you're in a position of authority over that person and you deliberately misgender them to demean them, make them feel subhuman, I think you're fucking scum. So I'm sorry if that upsets any of my audience, but if you feel that way, I don't want you in my audience. If you think, yeah, go on, have a go at them. So when I read up what this teacher had done and what their defense was, I was kind of like, this is just so unacceptable to do to a child. So the teacher's defense was, I am a grammatical purist, and therefore I refuse to use this. It was a female to male child, and the teacher refused to refer to them as he or him. And then, just in case you think, well, maybe that's reasonable, let me tell you it's not. But it becomes more unreasonable when the teacher, when the child asked the teacher to use the correct pronouns perfectly politely. The teacher laughed in the child's face and said, "If you don't want to be called a girl, don't look like one." Now, whatever that teacher's personal opinions are, and they are certainly entitled to those, they are not entitled to go to school and foist them upon that child and make that child singled out in the class, make that child feel worse than perhaps they already do from bullying or whatever. Basically, as a teacher, you're not supposed to be the class bully.
Yeah, exactly. As if their life in school isn't hard enough going through that. Now I've got the teacher giving me shit in front of all the people are going to make fun of me for it afterwards. Great idea.
So, you know, I have to say, like all the people who are going, go on, Richard, go on, rip the absurdity of this apart. There's nothing absurd about it. The parents had told the teacher this was how they defined themselves. right? And this is how we define them. Now, you might, again, you can have all your problems with that. You can be one of the people who say, oh, it's a mental illness. You can be that person, right? You can be, ah, oh, the parents are foisting it upon their child based on their own politics. I actually feel sorry for the child. You can be that person. You can hold the opinions you want and be whoever the fuck you want to be. But I suggest if you're going to be a teacher and you hold those opinions, you don't spit those opinions in the child's face while they're just trying to get through school. Because I think that's abusive. And I think that's unconscionable. I think that's a deplorable way for any teacher to act. And if you're not capable of separating those opinions and not articulating those opinions, then you absolutely have no place educating children. When you are put in a position of authority over kids, you have a duty of care. That's what they call it, a duty of care. In the UK, this duty of care extends specifically. You have a in something called loco parenti, which is a Latin term, and basically it means in the absence of the parent, the teacher assumes the role of the parent in certain key issues. So the teacher in this instance is in such a strong position that to do that to a kid, I absolutely couldn't forgive it. I think this person should have their employment terminated because this wasn't an honest mistake. They did this specifically to make a point in front of the other children to specifically hurt the child and to specifically protest the existence of transgender people. I cannot sign off on that. I can't say, yo, yeah. Oh, the bloody system smashes another in. No, not at all. This person is abusing their position as a teacher. And interestingly enough, the school itself tried to defend the teacher, saying, oh, this might be the first transgender student the teacher has ever dealt with. Well, okay, but then if in the absence of knowing what to do, you don't do that, do you?
Yeah. I don't know what this is, so I'm going to be a complete and utter cunt instead of just ask questions.
And what makes it worse is, you know, we all know how hard school was. Like, do you all remember school? Peter Kay said. Do you all remember school?
Remember dinner ladies.
Yeah, you remember dinner ladies? Do you remember getting bullied for even the slightest difference? Do you remember being a kid that couldn't afford the fucking popular fucking sneakers at the time? Do you remember having your head flushed down the toilet? Do you remember being bullied because, you know, your parents weren't well known in the neighborhood, or you had a strange accent because you'd moved from a different region? Do you remember that? I do. And I'll say it, you know, like the worst people I ever encountered at school were teachers, actually, in terms of the bullying. The people that made my life miserable at school were generally teachers. Not because they were, you know, assigning too much homework or being unfair in their marking, but because they actively singled me out because my dad was in prison. And I was considered scum because of that. So I absolutely have no fucking time for any grown adult in a position of power over children that would fuck with a child like that. I think they're fucking worms. I think you got to look at what is wrong with your life.
Yeah, exactly.
that you need to go to school and lord it over a child. And again, there's not even a dispute for this on a legal basis. Under the 2010 Equality Act, it is completely unlawful for a school to treat pupils in any disparaging manner, any less favorable because of gender reassignment surgery. Oh, in fact, not surgery, just gender reassignment, just the adoption of pronouns. They don't have to be undertaking a medical procedure to be covered by this act. So there's simply no excuse for it. And what's interesting is that the teacher's sort of been placed on administrative leave while they were investigating it, and it looks like the teacher's now decided to leave as a result of that. And his response is to sue the school for constructive dismissal and being discriminated against, citing his Christian beliefs. Now, also, look, I'm not the authority on Christianity, but I don't remember.
Love Thy Neighbor, wasn't that,
yeah,
wasn't that one of the Christian ones?
I do remember there was, you know, Jesus used to, you know, shake hands with lepers and all that. And he used to wash the feet of prostitutes. He didn't judge anybody. And said, love thy neighbor as you love thyself. And also, you know, don't throw fucking stones in glass houses. You know, like, it just doesn't seem very Christian to me to make a child's life miserable because you disagree with something. So fuck that guy. Fuck all the people who are like, yeah, go on, fight for the teacher's rights. No, I'm glad he's fired. I hope he never works with kids again. Sorry. Again, he's entitled to the opinions that he holds. I don't agree with him, but he's entitled to them. But when you take a job, that means you have to be opinion neutral. If you can't do it, fuck you. And double fuck you. Where children are concerned. Kids got a hard enough time these days without fucking the teachers being part of the problem. So, you see, I told you it would get like, we'd give you the giddy heights, man in a sewer, gangster turkeys. Right, let's get serious. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. Spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. I don't know if you noticed, Sam, but in the aftermath of the latest school shooting in Florida, terrible one, we covered it on the podcast. It's there in the YouTube channel. It's the latest episode of the Richard Lewis Show. We went pretty in-depth in it. But there's been a little bit of hysteria that's coming along with it. It probably doesn't surprise you at all. And there was this story here, which I think just underlines the hysteria, because there is this idea now, quite rightly, that if you see something, say something, because of all the catastrophic, monstrous failures that stopped lives being saved on that fateful day in Florida, people are super on edge. And sometimes I think, yeah, you might just be overreacting just a little bit. This story here absolutely proves that. So this is the story where a student was investigated by the police for saying that a math symbol looked like a gun, specifically the square root sign.
You know, the one that kind of does look like a gun?
That one. Yeah, that one. Yeah, that one.
That one, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, understand that's all the kid said. They were doing a maths class. The student was learning about square roots, which, you know what, I've completely forgotten everything about maths. I can't do basic maths anymore. It just never came in handy. I was right. It just never came. None of that ever came in
handy. The only time it ever comes in handy is when someone asks you a math question to see if you know maths. That's the only time I ever use it.
It just never crops up in my day-to-day. Pythagoras theorem never cropped up. You know, how to do fucking, not even really how to do percentages. You know, like even the basic shit.
Like, yeah, but
not in my life.
Beyond like algorithms that I just haven't used in school.
Addition, subtraction, a little bit of division and multiplication, and that's it, and I'm fine. I just get through my life, no problem. Hey, Rich, what's the square root? Don't give a fuck. Like, never comes up. I'm not saying, you know, don't learn maths. I mean, I learned all of this shit, but as soon as it became clear it was never going to be needed, my brain went, you know what, let's push that down.
It's good
down
to just test the waters, see that your brain's churning, like, all right, I can do this. But after that, you can basically forget it. Like, it's probably good in school just to get you thinking, but outside of that, who's
yeah,
arse?
It's literally just down there, along with all the repressed memories from my childhood. It's just down there now. It's just down
living
there.
Living down there.
Yeah, in the swamps. They could probably bring it out with deep hypnosis and psychiatric therapy.
Oh, I remember my childhood and the square root of 81's 9.
Yeah, like that. But anyway, so the kid said the symbol that indeed does look a bit like a gun looked a bit like a gun. And several other students like went, oh, yeah, it does. It's a gun. So the I think it was a teacher contacted the sheriff's office to investigate alleged terrorist threats.
I heard someone say the word gun.
Yeah. And the detectives came in. They arrested the student.
Sorry.
Yeah, asked what he meant when he said the symbol looks like a gun. Detectives swept the student's home to check for firearms. This is all real. Investigators said there was no evidence the student had access to firearms or any harm. And a statement was released on the Facebook page that said the student used extremely poor judgment.
No, he didn't.
In making the comment. Definitely didn't.
Didn't.
But in light of the actual circumstances, there was no evidence to support criminal charges. So just be careful. Next time you're at school or college or indeed in public, if you say something that looks a bit like a gun, looks a bit like a gun, that might be interpreted as a terrorist threat. And it's probably going to be like that for a while. Just FYI. Till sanity is resumed. All right. Let me. Okay. So while we're talking about crazy schools, let's just do a juxtaposition. In America, people say, oh, it looks like a gun. Arrest him. He might have a gun. But it's a Second Amendment right. Arrest him anyway. Right. Oh, yeah. He just made an observation. Fuck. That's not a criminal offense. Ha ha. First Amendment rights, by the way. Ha ha. In Britain, I've said this a bunch. At least I think this was a UK one. It might not be, actually. Let me just check. Pretty sure it was. Yeah, well, it is. In Britain, we do everything a little bit shitter. And I've said this before. I don't understand. We've done stories about pathetic teachers and pathetic schools that, like, you know, they wait up. They stay up at night going, oh, my God, the kids, they're doing normal kids things. They're doing normal kids things. We must stop them. Like, for example, I believe we did a story about a school where the headmaster said they were going to expel anyone if they had a boyfriend or girlfriend. which, again, they had to walk that back, but they said it anyway and thought that would be a reasonable policy.
Yeah.
Again, it's that overstepping of the loco parenti thing we just talked about. Well, in Norfolk, which is a fucking meme in itself, by the way. A secondary school has banned a particular type of haircut. Now, I've never heard of this haircut, Sam, for multiple reasons. The first being I'm as bald as a plucked chicken. The second being because I'm old and just not hip anymore, but that's fine. That happens. It'll happen to you. The music will start sounding weird. The fashion will start looking weird. And you'll be a man out of time. But anyway, this haircut's called the Meet Me at McDonald's haircut. You ever heard of that?
I think I could guess what that means. Is it like a racer boy? Because, like, where I'm from, well, anyway, like, look, all the guys get a car and they get, like, a fucking racing stripes on and they just drive around. The racer boy types. They're always known to just wait, go in a meet up at McDonald's. So is it that?
Yeah. Well,
is it like short back and sides?
No, I think we just used to. I think we used to call it high tops when I was.
Yeah, yeah. So short back and sides and long on top.
Yeah, yeah. So this is short. This is short, and then just like long, like flock of seagulls. But I don't know what it's got to do with McDonald's. I don't at all. But anyway, says here. The trendy 80s-inspired hairstyle typically features short sides with a floppy tousled mop of hair on top. The origins of its quippy name remain unknown. I used to have hair like this. So it is indeed a fine hairstyle. I was allowed to have that hairstyle while I was at school. Anyway, the headmaster of this school said the haircut was unacceptable for boys, and it was one of seven haircuts that were deemed unacceptable. He said girls' hair is not a problem at this school. So it's very decent of him to to not impose on...
This is what I mean by just teachers who've clearly just fucked in their life. Because, mate, imagine waking up, doing anything, and people's haircuts are in your mind. It's a thing you consider. So imagine how shit your life must be going. Imagine how bored you must be when you get home. It's like these bloody kids cutting their hair. Like, do you know what fucking year it is, mate?
It's mad,
this was happening like the 1930s. Oh, they're wearing jeans. They're going wild. Time's people over,
don't.
Mate.
People don't believe I used to have long hair. Right? I'm gonna disprove this right now. Let me just find a picture of me with long hair. Where was it? Well, I can't really see it there. Right, hang on. This is so old. The picture's like even faded digitally. Right. So this was my head. Right. Way back when. All right, be prepared for this, Sam. Never before seen footage of Richard Lewis's head with hair. Look at that.
I don't know, mate. It's from the back. Could be anyone. All right, it's fake.
Nah, it's you can tell that. It's me. Look at that schnoz. That's definitely me, mate.
Weird Al Yankovic look in his youth.
Yeah. Curly hair, you see? I had mad levels of curly hair. Like, so that was what I used to have, legit. People saying it's a fake. All right, I got one with my face in it.
Let me find another.
I got one with my face in it. This is like my favorite picture because it's one of the few I got of me and my dead mate. So we'll get that out there as well. This is me and Chris Madison at a house party. I'm the guy on the right. So you can see it's long there. It's curling behind my ear. Yeah, there it is. Had the mop, guys. All straight legit. So... that's me, underage drinking.
How old are you there?
Fuck.
You look like 32. What you
six, mean? 16.
You look like you just got out of the fucking military or something, mate.
Well, Chris was just going away in the military. I was training to get in. I think I can't remember if this was the party where I got knocked back, and he was going away. Maybe. But yeah, that's me with long hair, just straight chilling. So there you go. And there's no disputing that is me. Time has not been kind. But yeah, but like I used to get served alcohol all the time when I was like 16, 17. Like straight up, I'd been drinking in bars like since I was like fucking 14. I was just an old looking motherfucker. Like I'm clean shaven there, but like I could grow a beard by that point, like a proper fucking beard, dog. So I was like, puberty hit me like a ton of bricks. Like one minute I was 12, and then the next minute I was just fucking 25. So it was like, it was overnight. I like shot up to like 6 foot and everyone was like, fucking hell, Richard's going to be huge. And then I just never grew another inch. And I had a beard just appear on my face. Everyone was like, fucking hell, Richard's going to be hairy. It's barely any different to this. It was like, yeah, just 12 years old, bang, puberty just overnight. Like Teen Wolf or some shit, you know. Anyway, let's get back to this fucking haircut. Right, so 7 haircuts that are banned. Noticeably longer tops that are layered in and combined with contrasting sides and back. So basically the short back and sides.
So he's cancelled short back and sides.
Mm.
It's like saying you're not allowed to have brown hair in this school.
Mm. Yeah. So you can't short back and sides is one of the most sensible haircuts of all time. Yeah.
If you don't want to get short back sides, short back sides.
Variations on the style, often known as Meet Me at McDonald's. I reckon he got fucking trolled. I reckon that's some Chris Morris shit. I reckon that's straight some Chris Morris shit. Like, you know, remember when they did that episode of Brass Eye about drugs? And in the end, ended up in Parliament discussing a new drug called cake that didn't exist.
Yeah.
Right? I think there is no Meet Me at McDonald's. I think this teacher just got fucking absolutely trolled the fuck. Anyway, overgrown heavy fringes brushed forward onto the face. High top styles of excessive height. Doesn't stipulate how tall you're.
Why are they allowed a mohawk, mate? Fuck this. I'd come in next day with a mohawk painted green and say, fucking arrest me and let's do it through the courts. Let's see how long it goes.
Shaven parting lines. Hair that is teased to give excessive height, any variation on a Mohican style.
See, he's already got me with the mohawk, like.
So naturally, parents have said this is fucking unbelievably stupid. Because, you know, running parallel to, like, school policy, obviously, like, you can't just tell kids, look, don't, you've just got to ignore fashion and everything that's happening in the outside world because you come to school for X amount of hours a day.
Like, and you're not allowed to express yourself. Definitely, everyone in school gets shitty haircuts. That's when you do it. They're not going to do it when they're fucking adults, is it? That's the whole point. You're supposed to have when you're nine. That's when it's fun.
Which isn't to say, like, I'm against, you know, school uniforms, for example.
No, uniforms are good, because the reason I like school uniforms is because nobody, like, you can't get picked on, like you were saying, if you can't afford the shoes.
Yeah,
you can't get picked on for the clothes. Everyone wears the same thing.
Exactly.
So, uniform is good. It makes sense. But haircuts, scissors is the same everywhere, mate.
Exactly. So I thought that was a bit ridiculous. What else have we got here in I Hate It Here? We've done the stuck in a drain. We've done the crazy teacher and the math symbol. Speaking of maths, here you go. This is a good one. Some people are... You ever heard the phrase curtain twitcher?
No.
A curtain twitcher, you know, just someone who's needlessly nosy. Always a curtain twitcher, right? Sticky beak is another one I'm sure you heard of. You know, always sticking your beak into other people's business. Little sticky beak. I think that's an Australian term. Nosy cunts, I call them. Nails it in one, doesn't it? Now, what I fucking couldn't even imagine anybody doing this. But it's another airline story, so the airline's definitely at fault, but so's the person. So this is an Ivy League economist. Oh, wait, hang on. They've done that thing again. The staff can't tell the difference between... Yeah, it's old. It's old.
You've done math.
We'll just have to cut it out now. There you go. Have to cut it out. Did the setup.
I Hate It Here. We used to do old stories, though, to be fair. We've done a few old stories on I Hate It Here.
Yeah, I want to keep it current, because then people in the chat will spam it's old. could we like just modify the date and make it look like it was real?
Give it to me. I'll hack a man at me.
Yeah, you want to do that?
Yeah, slide it over.
So this just happened yesterday.
I'll put it in the fucking future.
Yeah,
tell you what, this happened 3 days from now.
Let's just do it. But yeah, fuck everyone on the Discord.
Reasonable guy. Fuck everyone.
All right. Anyway, so this is the story that definitely just happened yesterday. About a 40-year-old man who is an Ivy League economist, and he ended up being interrogated by police while he was doing maths on an American Airlines flight. And what had happened was, the passenger that was sat next to him was looking over at him. And to give you a description of the guy, he has dark curly hair, olive skin, and an exotic accent. And the person next to him noticed that he was doing bum, bum, bum mathematics. Now, listen, Sam.
He's making bombs. He's making rockets. He's doing something.
Yeah, well, you're doing a good job here doctoring this, Sam. Straight hacker, man. You're the best. Yeah, they'll never happen today, mate. You'll never be able to prove otherwise. So, I don't know if you know this, but maths can be used for evil.
What does that mean, mate?
maths can be used for evil. Think about it. Do you think fucking Blofeld in the Bond movies can make a fucking death ray without maths? He needs maths.
Let's get rid of it.
Right? And obviously, you have to use maths if you want to make bombs, don't you? Think about it.
More chemistry.
Formula needs maths.
Yeah, I guess. Chemistry causes maths.
Blast radius, maths.
Oh, if you make it a hardcore bomb, I'm sure the fucking government's got bear scientists. Yeah, they know all the numbers. Sure.
Maths.
Got all the maths. Gonna fill this bomb full of maths. the deadliest substance known to man.
So obviously, because this woman was sat next to a foreign-sounding man called Guido Menzio, and he was doing maths on a plane, coming soon, starring Samuel L. Jackson, she started to get a bit nervous. And then, being a sticky beak, a curtain twitcher, a nosy cunt, she had a little look over. And she saw some symbols she didn't recognize.
Probably because immediately,
yeah, obviously he doesn't do maps. Obviously, some of them look like guns.
He's drawing guns.
Right? And she assumed that the mathematical squiggles, which I wouldn't understand, but I would know they weren't Arabic. She didn't. She assumed it was Arabic, which wouldn't even be a problem if it were.
He's writing in a language I don't understand.
He's
get him off.
Writing Arabic on a plane! I've seen some crazy stuff on planes. Like, motherfuckers do go fucking crazy these days. Like, did I ever tell you about the time I was on a plane and there was a dude across from me and he was like a nervous flyer?
Right.
And he was a Muslim. And he was doing he had his palms up and he was like, you know, doing some sort of recitation in Arabic. And the word Allah was definitely in there. And people were losing their shit. I was all right. But people were like, fucking hell. The hostess had to come over and ask him to stop. Because people were getting so agitated. Can you believe that?
I mean, how do people think terrorist attacks go down? Do you really think it starts with a man being very scared of flying, trying to calm himself down? Do you think that's how it happens?
What I think, certainly if you're going to commit terrorist acts, the number one rule is to draw lots of attention to yourself. Exactly. Definitely do that.
And also, aren't the people who commit them, glad to commit them? I thought that's the whole problem, because they want to, right? There's a prize at the end, they believe, you know, you go to heaven or whatever the equivalent is. They're not going to be shaking like a shitting dog saying, when do we land? Because they're scared.
So it was a bit of a strange one to me, that was. I didn't really get it. But anyway, so this man had written maths on a plane, basically, Guido Menzio, and was interrogated by police on American Airlines. And obviously, you can probably tell by his name, he's Italian.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. So the woman got once she saw the Arabic, she said, "Oh, excuse me, I gotta go to the toilet." She hustles to the front of the plane and just gets off. Tells the police, "He's writing maps.
He's writing guns.
There's a guy over there with black curly hair writing maths on a plane. Please get me out." And because again, it makes no sense. Because why would you be planning why would you be designing the bomb?
I saw a Greek man on that plane playing Sudoku. I'm not ready. I'm too scared to fly.
Yeah. Why would, he's on the plane going, fucking hell, it's just a 2-hour flight. I better get this. He's not fucking MacGyver. You know what I mean?
Maybe anyone, he's a scientist or something, mate. He's got shit on.
I wasn't allowed to bring him on, but has anyone got any nuts and bolts? I need some copper. You know, what's this? Season 1 Breaking Bad? Come on. But yeah, maths, not allowed. So yeah, he got profiled on American Airlines. So there you go. I just thought I'd put that out there. Definitely a fresh story that just happened.
Brand new.
Okay. Where should we go from here? Let's talk about fat people. Do you wanna talk about fatties? I'm a fatty. They're my people. I'm overweight.
I'll be my own little fat person, mate. I don't wanna be in a group.
Alright. Well, I'm overweight. All right, and I'm trying to do something about it. And I accept I'm overweight. And I accept I'm not healthy because I'm overweight. I can't run as fast. My back hurts. I'm carrying too much weight. It's not a good look. I'm not as attractive as I used to be because I've gained the weight. But you see, it's not like I sort of lost the weight in a runaway train. Like, and I'm like, oh, I just can't control myself. Like, I've been watching that show. What's it, 600 pound?
Oh, yeah. You see that guy? Hang on. I'll wait. It might be the story, all right, mate.
No, it ain't. All right. We'll get into it. But 600 pound lie, you know, I've seen that. And it's like, I don't think I'm ever going to be that bad. But there was a period in my life where my priorities shifted. And anybody who's been like an athlete, anybody who's, come out of long-term relationships, you know your priorities shift. All of a sudden, you want to spend some time, just some you time, and do whatever the fuck you want to do.
Have a carb and a chill out, yeah? Just eat some food, play some games.
And for me, right, as I've got older, I'm not really excited at the prospect of sex anymore. I've had plenty of that, right? But you know what does excite me? A good fucking meal and a mad fucking tash on. Loads of booze, right? So get fucking tash on. That excites me. More than the prospect of getting laid is a fucking unbelievable dinner with dessert and all the fixings and then just getting absolutely arsehole blitzed. Now, unfortunately, there's...
Both are not great for your health, are they?
There's calories in that.
Yeah.
And when you when you do more of that than exercising and everything else, you gain weight. And I know I've gained too much, and I need to do something about it because I'm getting older. So I'm obviously trying to do something about that. I've been doing keto. I've lost some weight. I've hit that wall where I'm not losing any more weight. So now I've got to start hustling in the gym. We knew that day would come. So I've been doing it. And if anybody said to me, you're fat, in fact, I'll tell you a story. I won't name names, but I did have somebody basically say, like, you know, they didn't necessarily want to put me in a thing they were doing because, like, they were like, yeah, you're a little bit porky. All right. So that's perfectly fair. I don't think I'm being fat shamed. I don't think I'm being discriminated against. I think it's a reasonable thing to say that, you know, lose some weight, right? I'm all right with it. But there's a bigger thing at stake here. It's not just aesthetics. Weight is linked to so many negative things. Now, maybe the science is wrong. Science probably has been wrong, but it probably ain't, because there's an overwhelming amount of science that says being overweight fucking bad for you and is linked to cancer, right? In fact, it's... after smoking, it's the second highest cause of cancer, right?
Yeah, it's this not even like you need the science, mate. If you just look at a human body, do you think it performs better when it's covered in blubber all around it and it's blocking things and it's in the way and in the way of veins and all the fat is going into your fucking organs? Just think about it. You don't even need the science experiments. It's fucking obvious. If you looked at a machine and someone wrapped it in bubble wrap, do you think it's going to work better when it's wrapped in bubble wrap? Probably not.
It's not gonna, is it, Sam? It's not gonna. I think it's good for people to be aware that the health at any size movement, you can be overweight and healthy, yes. And certainly I don't necessarily have, like, you know, the whole BMI thing. I think it's a bit silly. You know, like, I've seen people who are, like, technically obese, but they're ripped and there's not an ounce of fat on them. It's just their weight to height ratio.
That is an exact thing, is it? That's just more like a general feel of where you are in fitness.
Yeah. You know, so I think that's all a bit silly. But, like, your body fat to sort of weight ratio is something that you should be mindful of. And you can pretty much do the pinch test and tell when you're a bit doughy and a bit fat. And you should probably do everything you can to get rid of that. Right? Just sit straight up. You know? You don't have to get ripped. You don't need a six pack. But get down from a fucking belly to a dad bod. And you're probably going to live longer. And you're going to have less chance of getting some bad diseases. Right? That's it. Now, there was an advertisement from Cancer Research UK. Now, Cancer Research UK is a charity that's been going for a long time. It's exactly what it says it is. You put your money in. They, I think since 2002, they've been taking, you know, charity money, putting it into research to try and find cures and better treatments for cancer. And cancer will ravage your life in one form or another. Always. It's too common. Cancer is generally how people die. All right? So if you don't get it yourself, if you're one of the lucky ones, you will almost certainly have a relative that gets it. And you will know somebody who gets it. And you will have to watch it do what cancer does. And it's not good. So trying to avoid it is a good fucking strategy. And, there's probably much better ways to pass. And living to a ripe old age has always been preferable to me than the alternative. So anyway, the Cancer Research UK were doing an advert, an advertisement to make people aware that obesity is actually an issue. Right? Because you can imagine, we have a problem where people are getting fatter and fatter, and I know exactly why that is. There's multiple reasons. I could certainly, you know, tell you as to why it's happening. I talk about it a lot. I mean, first and foremost, we were all complete, like my generation especially, was lied to about nutrition for years.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Remember that food triangle bullshit, mate?
Yeah.
Eat us all these carbs, fill your body up with carbs, and then only have a little bit of everything else. Fruit. They say you should eat shitloads of fruit. Like, oh yeah, just pound it with sugar, mate. Sounds like a great way to live.
Yeah. And, you know, we were literally told, like, avoid saturated fats at all costs.
Yep.
Take polyunsaturated fats and man-made fats. And eat things like fruit and eat carbohydrates. Don't eat too much red meat. And like you say, the food pyramid, it's all carbohydrates.
Yeah, it's just carbs. Just another little bit of carbs. That was the thing, mate.
Yeah.
Because do you remember, I can't remember, it's probably like the 90s when they started going big on low-fat food. Why do you think they made low-fat? Why do you think it still tastes good? Because it was fucking full of sugar, bro. That's why. Yeah. So they were like, oh no, fat's bad. Because they knew they could just fill it with sugar. And everyone loves it. Whereas if you take sugar out of things and put in more fat, it don't taste the same because the sugar's different.
And the right, you know, while people are talking about suing the fast food industry and suing tobacco companies, fair enough. The low fat food movement, it is so hugely responsible for the situation we've got now. Which is where people are just, there's just sugar in everything.
Yep.
Sugar and salt in everything. So much sugar in everything. You pick up a jar of tomato sauce. That's really sweet. Fucking full of sugar. Full of sugar. And listen, I'm not saying if you eat sugar and you know you're eating sugar and you're aware of it, have at it. Do what you want. But there's so much hidden sugar in foods. It is beyond a joke. And my generation was told, don't eat red meat. Like, you can't have that. Don't eat butter and dairy. You can't have that. Stay off cheese.
And your cholesterol. How can you possibly eat red meat and butter? Your cholesterol will kill you. It's not all the sugar that's getting pounded into your body.
If you must have butter, have I can't believe it's not butter and all this other stuff that's worse for you.
Have this random chemical we've made to look like butter.
Yeah, and also, hey, if you wanna lose weight, don't eat meals, eat cereal.
Yeah, nice little protein bar full of carbs.
Yeah, you like look at the side of a box of Special K. It's full of, that's the special bit. It's sugar. Yeah. How the fuck does anyone get down a dress size eating this? Now, I'll tell you this. So, again, I'm harping on. I'm like one of those people who quit smoking. But here's what I will say. I've been surprised about how I feel about the keto diet. The first week, I felt like ass. Honestly, like I was dying. I was like, this can't be good for you. I felt slow, sluggish, slothful, headaches. But now I've done over a month. of basically as close to zero carbs and sugars as I can do. And I feel loads better. Like, I wake up in the morning now, like, hey, I had 8 hours sleep. Like, before, 8 hours wasn't enough. If I didn't get 10, I was going to struggle for the day. So you can imagine in my job, that was always a problem. 7-8 hours now, and I'm perky as fuck. And I eat meat all the time. And I feel like I've got my energy, get in the gym. Yeah,
never feel tired when you wake up.
Yeah, no weird chest pains or palpitations. No cold sweats if I have a prolonged period without eating. And like I say, I've lost approximately 16 pounds. So one of the problems that we've got with obesity is we were just lied to about what to eat. And we still are to some degree. People are pushing, people are pushing, low fat this, low fat that. And like you say, it's just all full of sugar. I thought myself, maybe I'll try a yogurt. But I've gotten the habit now because of the keto thing of actually looking at what I'm eating. I'd never done this before in my life. I've never looked at what's in the fucking food. I always assumed I knew enough. I didn't. I was a fucking idiot. And it's like, oh, I'll just have this nice fruit yogurt. Fucking 30 grams of sugar. It's a fucking fruit yogurt, Sam.
That's why you have to make your own bit. Buy the fruit, buy the yogurt.
30 grams. So, yeah, so anyway, this is why we got a fucking obesity problem. And it's compounded by the fact that the way we work, the hours we work, and the way lunch breaks work, get fucked. If you're not bringing a fucking grilled chicken salad to work every day, you're going to eat shit. You're going to have what's on in the canteen, or you're going to run to a Greg's and 30 minutes, choke it down, give you enough energy to get to the end of a grueling day of work. And then you're like, fucking hell, I work all day. I'm tired. I come home. I'll just order takeout tonight. And then you have a takeout and it's all pumped full of fucking sugar and preservatives. And there's not even, here's something they should do. And this is serious. I wouldn't crusade for it because I'm not the type. But all takeaways should have to have nutritional value on the carton.
Yeah.
Real talk.
By all takeaways, do we mean like the mom and pop ones? Or are we just talking commercial chain?
I am talking your local Chinese takeaway should not be able to get away by stuffing a bunch of food into a foil container and feeding it to you. I should know what the fuck is in that food to the fucking letter.
Effort though, innit?
Don't give a fuck. Don't want to put the effort in.
You ain't the one making a long-ton soup, man. You imagine that. You gotta figure out what's in all that.
They must look. Food is made of ingredients, and ingredients all themselves have individual constituent parts.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying it's impossible. Just
so it should be done. But anyway, so then people eat a takeaway on a night after already eating shite all day. And you work a 9 to 5 and you got kids. When are you going to the gym? And you sit there and the fucking carbs get metabolized and turned into fat, which is the way that it's supposed to happen. And then all of a sudden you're a fat bastard and you don't know why. And you've been lied to about the food you eat. You've been lied to about what's healthy and what's good for you for years. I guarantee now if I talk to somebody on the street and said, yo, what do you think's better for you, fat or sugar? People go, sugar, you just burn that off, right? I guarantee it. I guarantee most people would think that way.
Because people have been starting to think like that because know the term like sugar rush. They think sugar comes in your body and then goes out, and that's when you feel
it. My bunghole.
It stays in there. Like, you don't just go.
Yeah, where do you think it goes? So, anyway, I'll stop preaching. But I'm just saying, we've been lied to for fucking years about how nutrition works. And this isn't, junk science. This is all facts. This is all, they did a study where they put people on 24 weeks of keto, which was considered by a lot of like traditional nutritionists who are like, fat is bad, to be dangerous. And they found that those people eating nothing but high levels of saturated fats actually reduced their bad cholesterol over 24 weeks. It's there. Medical science. It's insane.
I think this is the turning period now, mate. It seems like everyone's starting to figure out, hang on, this sugar ain't the way forward. We know our food's flushed. Like, they talk about millennials all the time and avocados. But avocado's good fucking fat. That's what people are eating it. They realise it's fucking superfood. Everyone's starting to figure out now that sugar is bad.
So anyway, so good on the Cancer Research UK charity for putting out advertisements that make you realise that, listen, being obese, sure, it's not just about aesthetics. There is a very real cost, and that cost isn't just what you and your family will pay. In Britain, where you've got a National Health Service, which is already chronically overburdened because fucking New Labour sold it down the river, and then that got compounded by fucking Tories looking to fucking privatise it and slashing it to the bone because of austerity measures while they're all living in big houses and fucking pigs' heads or whatever other depraved shit they do. Right? There's a societal responsibility. I hate to break it to you. If you cannot afford to pay for your healthcare, this isn't an issue in America so much, but in Britain, if you can't afford to pay for your fucking healthcare and you're going to do something that's going to, you know, that you can control, that's going to put strain on the healthcare, I'm not saying you should be turned away, but I'm saying the thoughtful thing to think about is, how can I actually not be part of that problem? So there's this comedian. I mean, she is funny. I will say that. And you'll have seen her come up before, Sophie Hagen. And she is a campaigner for obese rights, basically.
For the, the reason you got obese is because you have obese rights, aka eating as much food as you want.
Yeah. And she put out a tweet basically saying that putting the word obesity into the campaign is fat shaming and actually is bad and is going to do more harm. It's going to do more harm than actually people fixing themselves and not getting cancer by being obese. That's her postulation. Which, of course, is complete nonsense. You know, I've always wondered if she's a parody account, because the things she says are so off the fucking wall. But she actually wrote like a follow-up and talked about it with the BBC. She is absolutely adamant that this is fat-shaming and it is bad. I'll show you the original tweet. And she actually tried to get people to write, you know, to basically complain to a charity and
for telling you you're going to get cancer. They're not even saying a stop. They're just saying, by the way, if you're obese, probably you're going to get cancer way more likely. This is harmful. No, it's harmful. Cancer. That's harmful.
And mad props to the Cancer Research UK for not kowtowing to this very strange subsection of the social justice mob. You can see here the tweet. She says, right, is anyone currently working on getting this piece of shit Cancer Research UK advert removed from everywhere? So imagine that. Imagine preaching that we now cannot tell people certain things are bad. She is basically saying she is anti-health warnings. Is there something I can sign? How the fucking fuck is this okay? Cancer Research replied to her and just basically said, obesity is the second biggest cause of cancer. It is our duty to inform people about this and lobby the government on policies which will help us all to keep to a healthy weight. For more information, please head to our website. She replied with saying, what your campaign is doing is so incredibly damaging, I can't even begin to describe it in 280 characters. There are many people who have tweeted me their articles about it. Try reading those. There is no excuse for you to have this campaign up.
Classic move as well, of course. When you get caught just spouting bullshit, you're like, well, I'm not going to tell you because you should research on your own. In other words, you have lost because being fat gives you cancer, makes it more likely to be cancer, and somehow this is bad. The Cancer Research UK, who I think might have done a bit of research, clue was in the name, has said it makes you get cancer. But apparently they're cunts because you're a fatty and you're annoyed. Mentally ill, mate.
And she says, she follows that up with, Sam, you can absolutely go away in terms of trying to excuse it. Society viewing fatness as a negative thing is a thing that kills more than the cancer you might get. Unable to cite a study that says that. Cancer, of course, one of the biggest causes of people dying. Hurt feelings, I think probably less. But she says the cancer you might get due to maybe something to do with you possibly weighing more than a certain weight, possibly, maybe. BMI was debunked decades ago. It's not a valid way of measuring anything. On the contrary, dieting has been proved time and time again to be one of the worst things you can do to your body. Your campaign is so damaging and fat-shaming, I really hope it gets taken down. Right? Okay, it doesn't end there. When told to sort of provide some evidence and be like, yo, you know, like, well, what should we be reading? Where is the science? She linked to something called the Nope Book, a fine peer-reviewed study that simply just babbles more insane nonsense about fat shaming and whatnot. So she claims to be more of an authority on cancer than Cancer Research UK. Oh, yeah. So anyway,
I know charities aren't perfect, mate, but I'm gonna go on a whim and say Charity Research UK probably knows a little bit about this.
You know, and don't get me wrong. If she's happy and comfortable to know that she's putting herself at more of a risk of cancer.
No. I don't care about her personally. Yeah, you live your movie. Yeah. But the fact that you're saying that this is bad, that they are telling people being fat is more likely to give you cancer, is mental.
Mm. She said to people replying to her, she said, while you are spewing your dim-witted, hateful opinions, you can probably just go to a Twitter feed for this bit if you want some. While you are spewing your dim-witted, hateful opinions in 280 characters, I am getting paid to write approximately 80,000 words about why you are wrong. Good for you.
And you enjoy our 40 quid. You spend.
And then she said, if people really cared about fat people's health, why would they use shame, ridicule, abuse, and fear to make them change their ways? Those are not the things that make people want to take care of themselves. Those are making fat people feel unwell. I don't know what the other motivator is. Because unfortunately, there's no motivator for getting healthy that feels better than doing the things that make you unhealthy. There just isn't. If it was that easy, there wouldn't be a problem. If I could eat something that would tasted better than fucking ice cream that made me stick thin, like, that's what I'd be doing right now. And then she says, hey, hate fat people, but admit that you hate fat people. Well, I definitely don't. As I said, they're my people.
I'm fat as fuck. What do you mean?
That whole it is unhealthy speech is embarrassing. And it's getting old. You don't want us to be healthy. You want us to hate ourselves because you hate us. Own up to your bigotry.
And don't even victimizing is this?
And don't even try me with the but the NHS has to pay for bullshit, because you know who else has to pay you have to pay for through your taxes? People who live to be fucking 95 years old because they've lived on kale and misery all their lives. So again,
you're just broken at that point in time. There's obviously something gone in your cognitive function that just means you're fucked, because you're drawing lines with it. So you're angry, mate. I can't even comprehend that statement.
Well,
someone who's lived their entire life, worked in society their entire life, likely brought up children who have then gone on to get jobs themselves, given money into a retirement fund for years and years, somehow make it to the age of 95. And because you're eating chips and you think obesity is sound, they're exactly the same people, are they?
So here's the thing. Somebody linked me a tweet and it buckled me, mate. I mean, it really did. I was laughing so fucking much about this, right? So just check it out. Somebody had found a tweet that she made. And it was more of these preaching for fat people's rights tweets. As if fat people are discriminated against in any way in modern society.
Yeah, I know what.
You know. So I don't know what to say.
The
whole
point of that tweet from Cancer Research UK is because everyone's fat. That's the problem. Right. So that's why we're telling everyone.
So this is a tweet she put out from 2016. She said, on behalf of all fat people, fuck plane seats, fuck cinema seats, fuck theater seats, and fuck amusement park seats. And somebody juxtaposed it with the Principal Skinner from The Simpsons meme, where it says, am I fat? No, it's the chairs who are wrong.
You know they make those chairs to fit most people. Like, that's kind of the design.
Mm. Oh, my fucking God. That fucking killed me when I first saw that, dude. Like, that is so fucking good. But, you know, look, it's just like, listen, I don't want fat people to feel bad. But if the...
I kind of do want fat people to realize that they're more likely of getting cancer.
And again, I don't know why I'm saying fat people when I myself, I'm overweight. Yeah, okay. So I want us to understand that
being fat is a bad thing and it will lead to bad things in your health. If you're going to decide to say, you know what, I'd rather just be fat and take those health degenerations on the chin, then that's your life. But someone telling you it's bad isn't evil.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. And listen, I fully support the Cancer Research UK's organization's right to point out that, you know, if a post is, it's not like it's a guy prodding you going, lose some weight, Rich. I mean, that would be a really good motivator, actually. That would
Exactly. That would get me. I'd pay for someone to do that.
You know, but like, come on.
Just walk into my bedroom every morning, look at you, fat mess. Why don't you go to fucking gym? Look at you, disgusting freak. That would wake me up. Like, you know what, you're right, mate. Yeah, probably should get up.
Start, like. So anyway, let's start winding the show down. What else have I got here? The fat shaming. Oh, mate, let's talk about this. Facebook, right? Facebook's got a fucking problem. Facebook has just lost its motherfucking mind. I don't understand it. I've said before, you know, like social media is and all of these tech companies, they're just so insanely twisted in their priorities. So let's just give you a quick recap without giving you a recap. Facebook obviously has been in the news for a bunch of shit recently. This includes scientific proof that it can make you more depressed. Scientific tests that Facebook did where they deliberately exposed certain people to certain types of content without their knowledge to measure their response without their knowledge, which apparently is fine in their terms of service. They spent a bunch of time apologizing for Donald Trump getting elected, pretending they were the reason when in actual fact, sure, while some Russian propaganda and fake news supporting Donald Trump made it onto the platform, as we've talked about on previous episodes of the podcast, there was an overwhelming amount of pro-Hillary and anti-Trump fake news that made it on. Multiple Facebook pages were shut down during the election cycle. And of course, Facebook is also the same company that partnered up with the seven top French media associations to basically stop any pro-Le Pen news making it onto the platform because they saw what had happened with Trump. So Facebook doesn't mind interfering with elections, even though they're apologizing for electoral interference because of their platform. It's only when it goes a certain way. They're all over the place. Who do you want to be? If you're Facebook, right? You know, do you want to be a platform where people of differing opinions can share things with people? Do you want to be a live streaming platform? Do you want to be a news aggregator? Do you want to be the glorified calendar and phone book that you started out as? What do you want to be? Facebook is having an identity crisis, but their priorities are so fucked up. Here's a story. This is literally from today. I was having a cup of coffee this morning. Black, of course, while I was fucking watching this. And it just utter nonsense unfold. Because I've been telling you that, for starters, Facebook's also been in the news for failing to act on reports about indecent images of children being on the platform. A BBC study revealed this. They actually banned an account for bringing it to their attention. Facebook has problems. But check this out. Facebook sent out a survey asking people whether or not it should permit adults to be allowed to ask 14-year-old girls for sexual pictures via Facebook.
So that went to a poll?
That went to a poll. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's mind-blowing. On Sunday, the social network ran a survey for some users asking how they thought the company should handle grooming behavior. There are a wide range of topics and behaviors that appear on Facebook, one question began. In thinking about an ideal world where you could set Facebook's policies, how would you handle the following? A private message in which an adult man asks a 14-year-old girl for sexual pictures. I'll field that one, Sam. I feel quite comfortable answering that question. What you should do, Facebook, is you should take that man's details and pass them to the police because he is a fucking sex predator. You don't have to go Chris Hansen on it. You don't have to go to his house and ask him to take a seat. But you must absolutely protect the child that's on your fucking platform. And if you have any doubt about that, shut your fucking business down right fucking now. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You are not fit to run a platform that is out there and available to kids. End of fucking story. End of story. So the options available, because it was multiple choice, Sam, were this content should not be allowed on Facebook and no one should be able to see it, to this content should be allowed on Facebook and I would not mind seeing it. By the way, Facebook, another thing, anybody who ticked that box might want to have a little look at them too. Just a fucking heads up. A second question asked, who should decide the rules about whether or not the adult man should be allowed to ask for such pictures? How about the fucking law? How about that? In no survey did Facebook allow users to indicate that law enforcement or child protection should be involved in the situation. The strictest option basically said Facebook should be the arbiter. Facebook's vice president of product, Guy Rosen, said the surveys were a mistake. My surprise. He said, we run surveys to understand how the community thinks about how we set policies. But this kind of activity is and will always be completely unacceptable on Facebook. It's reassuring, isn't it? We regularly work with authorities if identified. It shouldn't have been part of this survey. That was a mistake. Another Facebook spokesperson added, we understand this survey refers to offensive content that is already prohibited on Facebook. And we have no intention of allowing it. So we have stopped the survey. We have prohibited child grooming on Facebook since our earliest days. How noble. How noble of you.
Say that as if some haven't.
Yeah. We have no intention of changing this, and we regularly work with the police to ensure that anyone found acting in such a way is brought to justice. So you can sleep easy tonight. Facebook asking if we should be more lax about, you know, reporting pedophiles on the platform. That was just a fucking honest mistake. That can happen. I mean, you know, probably just one of those questions that was created by a fucking AI, right? Probably not even human error. Just a prank. All right, we're going to end on a high. Going to end on a funny note. You know me, I love triggering the crypto kids. Love it. And you'll have noticed if you follow my timeline, every time it gets regulated somewhere, or like, you know, for example, there was a news story about South Korea. They did like they've said like any anonymous crypto trading is going to be fucking banned, and then the guy who came up with that was found dead.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, you not see that?
No.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah, he was only 52, found dead at his home. And he basically, he was the guy who brought in the regulatory clampdown because he's the head of economic policy at the Office for Government Policy Coordination. So he was the guy behind it all. But anyway, we're not going to get into that. But every time it gets regulated, because I just love reading the comments. You will never regulate crypto. Yeah, I know I said we were going to end on a high note, and then I went straight to a fucking guy dying. That wasn't a high note. Right? But you'll never regulate crypto. There was some guy responded after the last episode of the podcast in the YouTube comments, and he was like going, you don't know what you're talking about. Blockchain and crypto are inseparable. I linked him to like multiple articles like in Denmark where they're using the technology for like voting, you know, companies that are using it for like, you know, fiat visa transactions, all this other stuff. It's clearly separable. Like it's inarguably separable. And anyway, you will never take away our crypto. Right. So, okay. How about this for an idea? All the global governments and global banks just say it's illegal to have it. So you're now having to use things like the fucking Tor browser and the dark web, which, by the way, a story just came out a few days ago that actually the Tor browser was partially funded and infiltrated by American intelligence operatives.
Deep stated. Get deep stated.
Yeah. Oh, double deep state, right? But let's just see how many people want to fucking hodl then, right? Let's just see how many people want to hodl when you fucking are going to go to prison for hodling, and hodling's a fucking criminal offense. Let's see. Let's see, put your crypto money where your crypto mouths are. You know what I mean? It's nonsense. It's a fad. It's garbage. It's a way to exploit idiots like all the other get-rich-quick schemes and pyramid schemes out there. So naturally, to end on a high note, guess who's got one?
Ooh, I don't know. Give me a bit of a guess. Come on, give me a hint. Is he an actor, musician?
He's both.
Oh, God. What does that mean? Is he an action star? Is
it
Steven Seagal?
It's Steven Seagal.
It actually is.
It's actually Steven Seagal.
Oh, my God.
This is the story. It's not too late to put it all down on Steven Seagal's new Bitcoin. He has created something called Bitcoin V2. This is legit. What this is happening.
As if he's just taken the name as well. Oh, he's put two eyes in it.
Yeah,
mate.
He's put two eyes in it to get around it. Yeah, he's put two eyes in it, mate. He's a fucking gangster.
What? Zen Master Steven Seagal has become the brand ambassador of Bitcoin 2Gen.
Yeah, right. And there's the press release.
As if he didn't call it Seagal Coin.
I know. I would have definitely gone for that if I'm putting my name on it.
If you're gonna meme yourself, you got to go all in. And I'd make it like a karate coin or something.
But anyway, so basically, they put this paper out, right, which you can read if you want to. It's there. It's linked to it. And there's some diagrams basically explaining how the how it's all going to work, that ICO is going to work. And what's really interesting about it, Sam, is there's a picture in it, and it's got a shape. I forget. If you just bring it up and just have a look at it, does that look like anything to you? Like,
what, the triangles?
Yeah. Does that look like?
Oh, pyramid. Yeah, I thought you meant it was from something. Yeah. It's a pyramid.
Right. Now, there was this wasn't there something about?
Some sort of schemes I heard about.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was, but I just remember it was a pyramid scheme. Pyramid
food
scheme.
Pyramid?
Yeah, it might have been that. But it was something along those lines.
Food pyramid schemes.
Yeah, it was something like that. But I heard they were bad for some reason. I can't remember. Multi-level. I don't know. It just escapes me. Anyway, here's a quote from the press release. As a Buddhist Zen teacher, healer, Oh, mate. I fucking love this cunt. If Steam Seagal, he didn't fucking exist, mate, I'd have to invent a cunt. I can't wait to get finished reading his book, by the way. Oh, fuck me. It's so good. As a Buddhist Zen teacher and healer, Stephen lives by the principles that the development of the physical self is essential to protect the spiritual man. He believes that what he does in his life is about leading people into contemplation to wake them up and enlighten them in some manner. These are precisely the objectives of the Bitcoin to Gen. To empower the community by providing a decentralized peer-to-peer payment system with its own wallet, mining ecosystem, and robust blockchain platform without the need of any third party. Zen Master Stephen mentioned an old Chinese saying.
Of course he did.
He's got plenty of them. Fortune cookies. Flow with whatever may happen and let your mind be free. Stay centered by accepting whatever you are doing. This is the ultimate. And that's by Shuang Tzu. So there you go. Do you know what though? I'm thinking, right? Like if we do a Patreon and we make a Patreon goal and we get above it, we put all the excess into.
Nah, I'm out, mate. We'll put $50 into it, mate. I ain't spunking a Patreon check into him. He's just gonna spend it on fucking karate gis or something, mate. What's he do with his life nowadays?
I want our stream to fucking get involved
mate,
with
the
Bitcoin.
Thing is, if we ever did that, we should just plug in every show and we'll be at the top of the pyramid, mate. We'll make all the viewers our little pyramid feeders.
Yeah, but you can't do that.
Nah, but we're open about it. We say, look, fiend, if you buy it, fiend, we got some quiche.
a fiend was, you know, just putting that out there. We don't endorse any of these schemes. This is, you know, we're laughing about it. But no, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't get the fucking stream to invest in it. But I mean, what we could do is if we did it to a Patreon and we invested in it. Imagine it. What if we got to meet Steven Seagal? Listen.
Probably being the number one shareholders of the coin.
Yeah, I told you about this. There was that time when he played a blues gig in a bar in Birmingham. And for £200, I could have got backstage and met him, but I didn't pay the 200 quid. No, I didn't feel like. I know, and I regret it to this day now.
As if best saving of 200 quid you've ever had, mate.
So we should get some Bitcoin.
Bitcoin
Gen 2. Bitcoin Gen 2. But yeah, I tell you, he's a fucking absolute legend, mate. What a fucking fiend. He'll put his name on any old shit. And I fucking respect that in a way. To be that divorced from any moral self, to have absolutely no compass, no integrity, just, oh, what's that? What we shilling today? Bitcoin. Yeah,
someone I don't
garbage.
Even understand, get me in.
Yeah, stick me down for 20 years. You know what I mean? I'll take 20% of that. Yeah, stick my fucking name on it. Yeah. It's a future, I hope, for myself. People in the chat saying I'm describing Mo. That's... You guys said it, not me. Right, anyway, that was it. We did a show, Sam, and it was technically I Hate It Here. You will notice there was absolutely no discernible difference, except we've got a slightly worse overlay.
Yeah, exactly. This is one I literally threw together before we went live, because we're like, oh, we need new graphics. So I just made them. Not even straight enough in the boxes, ain't aligned.
It's gone.
Just text on some paper.
Yeah, so there you go. But yeah, we did it. We did a thing. I think I might stream some fucking Kingdom Come later or whatever, and because I want to get that out the way before the new Vermintide comes out. So I might be back. But we will see. So there you have it. I will sign off with the I Hate It Here. Sign off now. So that was the news. We wish it wasn't. We'll see you next time on I Hate It.